You're listening to Leaders Portfolio on leadersportfolio.com. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith, here with the CEO of the Community College of the District of Columbia, Dr. Jonathan Wavera. And welcome, Jonathan, to Leaders Portfolio.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here. It's an unlikely place for me, given that we have just started out, and you're more than likely used to be interviewing people who have been in business for quite some time.
Well, we'll test you early, and then in a few years, we'll have you back. We'll see how you're doing then, all right?
Absolutely.
You'll have some bruises, right? Some more bruises. The Community College, Dr. Guevara's CEO of the Community College of District of Columbia. They have an open enrollment system, and it was created in January 2009, and for this current academic year, had a little over 2,000 students. And so this is an interesting story because, you know, not only are you kind of managing this community college, but it had to start overnight, right? So within 8 months, starting in January 2009, by the fall, you were, you know, you had students.
Right.
And D.C. was the only major urban city without a community college.
That is correct.
And so when did you come into this process?
I came into this process actually prior to the decision to create this community college. There was some thought, and Brookings, Appleseed, and a number of other studies indicated that there was a need for a community college in the district. And several people through the university had asked me to come over and talk about what it would take to start a community college. I've also had some very professional and personal interest in what was happening in terms of students from the District of Columbia, because it's part of the Nova campus in Northern Virginia. I think I did what just about everything that I could have to try to get the young people out of D.C. to go to a community college, and we still didn't see them showing up. So I actually started working with them behind the scenes, providing guidance and saying, here are some of the things you need to do. These are the cultural shifts you're going to have to deal with. These are some of the things that might happen. And then one day somebody said to me, you know, all of this advice is great.
But does it work? Try it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And you know, after several months of deliberating on whether or not it's something I wanted to do, I said, okay, I'm passionate about doing this, and so let's give it a shot.
Interesting. Excellent. And so it's probably been a rough year and a half.
I wouldn't say rough. It's been different from moment to moment. I wouldn't call it rough. We've had a significant amount of successes, as you've indicated. We have, this spring in our academic programs, over 2,300 students. We have another 1,500 or so. By the time the school year ends, we'll have over 2,000 students who would have gone through our workforce development programs. And so from that perspective, it's actually a wonderful thing that we're actually seeing ourselves making a difference in the lives of people. Over the last 8 weeks, through our various associations and requests for funding, we were able to land about $2.2 million for, you know, through various grants. So has it been rough? Oh, absolutely. You know, there's not a day that goes by when I wish I didn't have more time to sleep. But at the same time, you know, this comes with the territory.
So did you get more students enrolled more quickly than you expected?
Definitely. We went from 1,800 students, just under 1,800 students in the fall, to over 2,300 this spring. So our spring enrollment exceeded, and usually the fall enrollment is the highest. So we had about a 31% increase in our student base this spring over last fall.
Interesting, interesting. And you prior were provost of the Alexandria campus of Northern Virginia Community College.
That is correct.
Which is... And I've spoken to that CEO from there, and it was, I remember being like the number two largest community college.
Right.
So you went from like the number two, you know, it was institutionally built, et cetera, to this new kind of organization that you had to manage. And I asked you earlier, I said, yeah, not a lot of state funding. And you said virtually no state funding. So explain that to me.
In just about every state, community colleges are built around state funding so that there is a formula, an FTE or some politically driven formula that says for every student you've got. In Maryland, the community colleges get something like, I think it's 25% of whatever the state colleges get for their funding, Plus, on top of that, in Montgomery County, because there is a tax base here from the county, they get an addition to that. In the district, no such thing had ever existed. So when, as the community college has come into being, nobody has really sat down and thought it out, how do we fund this entity going forward? So, you know, we've got a hodgepodge of a mix of money from the university, money from, you know, external places that we're raising funds, and a variety of things that we're doing to make sure that we can, you know, have an institution mm-hmm. that we can speak of with some level of credibility. And a big piece of my task is convincing, you know, the various executive and legislative processes that we need to have some sort of formula that's set up.
Yeah, and it's in a tough economy too, right? So convincing anybody to give anything to any, you know, is just tough right now.
It is absolutely tough, but I look at this as good news. And I tell my staff every day, if we can survive the next 2 to 3 years, regardless to what we get or don't get from the D.C. government, if we can survive that, we can survive anything.
Because it's the hardest right now.
It is the most difficult. I mean, it's a startup and there is no money.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And I want to talk a little bit about your background, because it's interesting, because your background, you have an associate's degree.
I do.
From Newberry College. And then you went to get a bachelor's from Providence College and an MBA and a PhD from University of Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And so is part of the reason that you ended up kind of falling in this field, community college executive management field, because that kind of helped launch you when you were younger?
I did not have a desire to be in education in the first place. And I was minding my own business, I had a small tax counting practice and doing a variety of things, and began tutoring for free at a local community college that was as fledgling as our community college is now at the time. And one day somebody offered me the option to receive money for the tutoring, and then they asked me to teach a course, and, you know, things just went from one place to the next. And my mile marker is when Governor Dukakis was running for president of the United States, is when I finally said, okay, I'm going to do something about this. I'm kind of liking what I'm doing here. And I, you know, just sort of immersed myself into education. I spent some years at the community college system. I've had some, you know, I consider myself to be the luckiest person in higher education. I've worked at a two-year college that I helped to go from two-year to four-year, and I did that twice, one at a private and one at a public institution. And after I finished that last project at within the SUNY system, I said, I'm going back to the community colleges, because there's a much greater need there for, I think, people like me with the kind of passion and the enthusiasm that I have for what goes on at community colleges. And so I just went right back. Mm-hmm. One of the benefits that gives me, I think, is when I talk to people who are at universities who want to say to me, well, you can't do this with us, or we can't do that with you, I can say, hey, wait a minute. I sat in that chair at a university or a four-year school. I know what it takes to do that. Mm-hmm. I can tell you it can be done, and this is how we can do it.
Excellent. And so you developed this passion for students over time.
Absolutely.
Tell me what your overall leadership philosophy is.
I look at myself, and I think that one of the things that is wrong with the way most of us approach leadership is that we think that we have a certain set of individuals that we can take with us wherever we go. And that may or may not be the case, but I approach it from the perspective of being a high school coach. I've coached soccer for many years. I still referee. And as a high school coach, I often ask people, what's the difference between a high school coach and maybe a coach in the pros? And people always think it's money. Money is the smallest piece of that. The biggest piece of it is that as a high school coach, if you're here in Rockville or whatever town you live in, you can only recruit your players from those students who attend your local high school and who show up for those tryouts. Mm-hmm. And you may have the 60 worst players show up for your tryouts. At the end of the day, you're going to have to pick the best out of that, and that's what you've got to work with for the season. So part of what you've got to do as a leader everybody's different. You've got to look at where their strengths lie and figure out ways to work with those strengths, because you're never going to get people who have all the qualities that you want in each of them. And sometimes, you know, you're tossing people out because you just don't like that person is not the way to go. I look for people who will work with me, who will push my buttons, because I'm going to push them right back.
And kind of what you're saying, some of that actually is has a parallel to the student population, too, because you've got 60 people, like you were saying, from Rockville, but in this case, you've got 2,000 people from D.C. who it's open enrollment. So they are, the levels of these students, some don't even really want to be there. Some are so thankful they even have the shot.
That's correct.
You've got to work with them no matter what.
Yeah. And I find myself often, I haven't done it much lately, but I have a regular forum on a Tuesday morning where I just sit and I say, it's a conversation with the CEO. And sometimes I get one student, sometimes I get no students. But when they show up, I get to have a one-on-one conversation with them to find out about their lives. What makes them wake up in the morning and want to come in and do this? What do they think we're doing really well? What do they think we can change? What do they think we can improve? And so that's the kind of relationship that I like to have with our students, as crazy as my schedule might be.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And are there other types of things like that that you've implemented?
One of the first things that I did, actually before I even took the job myself, was to hire a group of people that I call my student success transition team. And these individuals, what I'm trying to do is to change the model of how higher education looks at the way it does business. In a typical higher ed model, somebody goes out and they do marketing and recruitment. They recruit the students. The students come to campus, and when they get there, the admissions people have nothing to do with them anymore. They've got to go see an advisor someplace else. And so they've got to build another bridge. Those individuals from our transition team are recruiters, but they're also advisors, so that the students don't have to build another bridge. They just continue the one that started. But in addition to that, I've implemented point-of-service surveys. When students come in and we do something for them or with them, they get the opportunity to evaluate us right away. I don't want to find out in 6 weeks that what we did not work for a student, because it doesn't help that student. It may help the one that's coming in 6 weeks, but it didn't help that one to find out so late in the game.
Excellent. And so you're constantly creating and thinking and producing.
Absolutely.
In this role.
You've got to do that.
So give us a quick 10 seconds on your thoughts for the next few years.
We are we're focused on a number of things. One, developmental education. 83% of the students who come to us from the district require one or more developmental class. Well, that's going to take them a long time to graduate. And for some students, they look at that and they say, I'm not even coming. So that's going to be one of our major, major efforts. Another major thing is to bridge the gap between the students who come in and maybe they wanted a skill to get a job, not necessarily a degree, to build that bridge so that they can go from there to earning that degree. Because at the end of the day, and we've seen it now with President Obama's initiatives, we want people to earn degrees. Because you can have 140 credits and no degree, and every employer is going to tell you, you don't have that. So those two pieces are two of the major things. So we're looking at accelerating the pace at which people do those developmental education courses. Because typically, if you require 3 classes before your college level class, that's 1.5 years.
Right.
We've got to cut that down. And we also have to look at it by chunking the work so that if you don't succeed in a course, we let you take only the piece that you need to do to be successful.
Well, I want to say thank you for being on Leaders Portfolio. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me.
And best of luck with that plan.
Well, I think so far it's working.
Good. All right, thank you. It's Dr. Jonathan Guevara, CEO of the Community College of the District of Columbia. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith, thanking these exclusive sponsors of Leaders Portfolio: Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia. Thanking our production team, Dr. Ohlers, and the production team, Hair Makeup by Eibel for Makeup, Theme by CSH Entertainment. I enjoy speaking with you about leadership. This has been Rebecca Blacksmith asking you what's in your portfolio.